"And you believe him?" Sewell asked Razor. Sean Wallace put on a mournfully injured expression. "Now then, Mr. Sewell, that's no way to be talking about someone who's only doing his best to help you. I didn't stick out my thumb and hitch here, you know." "Actually, he's right about the Homestead family," Horst said. "I saw them a couple of days ago." "Thank you, Father. There now, you have the word of a man of the cloth. What more do you want?"
10 of them on open ground," Razor said. "That's nothing as bad as panniers. I think we can take care of them. Are you going to add your firepower to ours, Mr. Wallace?"
"Ah, now, my firepower is a poor weak thing compared to yours, Mr. Maline, but even if it were capable of shifting mountains, I would not help you in that way."
"That makes you a liability, Mr. Wallace."
"I don't think much of a man who asks another to kill his cousins in suffering, Mr. Maline. Not much at all."
Horst took a pace forwards.
"Perhaps you could mediate for us, Mr. Wallace. Nobody wants to see any more death on this world, especially as those bodies still contain their rightful souls. Could you not explain to the Homestead family that attacking the mercenaries would be foolhardy in the extreme?"
Sean Wallace stroked his chin.
"Aye, now, I could indeed do that, Father."
Horst glanced expectantly at Reza.
"Suits me," the mercenary leader said. Sean Wallace grinned his wide boy grin. "The priests back in Ireland were all wily old souls. I see nothing's changed in that department."
Nobody had noticed the balmy smile growing on Kelly's face during the exchange. She let go of Russ and slapped her hands together with surefire exultation.
"Yes. I can get Joshua back here, I think. I'm sure I can."
They all looked at her. "Maybe even by this afternoon. We won't have to worry about going through the mountains. All we have to do is get clear of the red cloud so that Ashley can land."
"Spare us how wonderful you are, Kelly," Reza said.
"How?"
She dived into her bag and pulled out her communication block, brandishing it as though it were a silver trophy.
"With this... The LDC's original geosynchronous communication platform had a deep space antenna to keep in touch with the Edenus station orbiting Aurora. If the platform didn't get hit on the orbital battle, we can just call him up. Send a repeating message telling him how badly we need him. Aurora is about 900 million kilometers away. That's less than a light hour. If he leaves as soon as he receives it, he could be here inside 3 or 4 hours. Lady Mac might not be able to jump out system, but if she can jump to Aurora, she can jump back again. At least we'll be safely off La Londe."
"Can you get the platform computer to send a message?" Razor asked. "Terence Smith never gave us any access codes for it."
"Listen, I'm a bloody reporter. There's nothing I don't know about violating communication systems, and this block has quite a few less-than-legal chips added."
She waited for an answer. Her feet had developed a life of their own, wanting to dance.
"Well, get on with it, then, Kelly," Razor said.
She ran for the hole in the door, startling Fenton and Ryle lying on the grass outside. The sky over the savannah was split into 2 uneven portions of redness as the cloud band clashed with the dawn sun. She datavised an instruction into the block, and it started scanning across the dissonant shades above. For the platform's beacon. Joshua dozed fitfully in his cabin sleep cocoon. The envelope was a baggy, lightweight, spongy fabric, big enough to hold him without being restrictive. Sarah had offered to sleep with him, but he tactfully declined. He was still feeling the effects of that 11G thrust. Even his body hadn't been geneered with that much acceleration in mind. There were long bruise crinkles on his back where the creases on his ship suit had pressed into his skin, and when he looked into the mirror his eyes were bloodshot. He and Sarah wouldn't have had sex anyway. He really was tired. Tired and stressed out. Everyone had been so full of praise for the way he had flown Lady Mac. If only they knew the emotional cold turkey that hit him once the danger was over and he stopped operating on nerve energy and arrogance. The fear from realizing what one, just one, mistake would have spelt.
I should have listened to Ione. What I had before was enough.
He held her image in his mind as he fell asleep. She made it a lot easier to relax, floating away on the rhythm of night.
When he woke, drowsy, warm, and randy, he accessed a memory of their time back in tranquility. Out in the parkland, lying on the thick grass beside a stream, the two of them clinging together after sex, Ione on top, sweaty and dreamily content, light glinting and opulent gold off her hair, skin warm and soft against him, kissing him oh so slowly, lips descending along his sternum. Neither spoke. The moment was too perfect for that.